Absolutely.
Ready?
I don't have a choice. You slapped us in.
I'm in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Indiana Success Happy Hour. Brian Quinlan here from Daniels Real Estate and First Home Indy on YouTube.
And Brad Nickum.
Hi, Brad.
With Nest Mortgage Group and Tasting Tequila with Brad.
All right. See a little more energy. Well, folks, you'll notice we have another guest here to my right. Sir, tell the folks who you are.
Hey, David Heft. Do real estate right now. My own investments, have owned several companies in the past and have known Brad for a long time. And you and I just met 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
But you'll become my best friend.
Oh, that's great.
After a little sip of this.
That's fantastic. Speaking of beverages, Brad, I see it's tequila I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's because it's brand new.
Oh, all right.
Bramido. And this is coming from a little town off the bottom of Lake Chapala.
Sure.
So straight south of Guadalajara. So it's not highlands and it's not valley. It's its own place.
We're not going to go there later this month, are we?
No, we're not. Okay. It could be too far away.
Okay.
So master distiller is only 29 years old. Grandfather was in the tequila business. They built their own distillery, brand new. And they're using awesome methods. And the terroir from this area just makes the tequila taste different. It's just, it's delicious. This is their new high proof. They just sent this to me and... Thought I'd show.
Well, all right, cool. Harkening back to a previous episode of this show, I've got Champagne Velvet from Upland Brewing. And my man Isaiah, when we had him on the show, talked about this, and they had gotten it from another brewery.
Okay.
And so it's the first time I'm trying the old Champagne Velvet. And yeah, hey, what's up, Isaiah?
So is that technically the champagne of beers then?
I think technically it is, but yeah. I don't believe that's how they advertise themselves because it's probably trademarked by Miller.
Yeah, someone would probably sue them.
There's
that.
A very good chance. And to my right is a tequila that's been on the show multiple times, a little Fortaleza, which Dave said you've never had.
I've never had it. I wanted to taste a recommendation, and I really enjoy it.
All right.
He was expecting something incredibly expensive, not something that's retails at $65.
Yeah, yeah, which made me super happy.
Yeah. Oh, the tequila thing is great. It's cheap for the most part.
Right.
When you get 1,000 bottles.
You shop correctly. It's a little more expensive. You shop correctly. Well, Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers.
Pleasure to meet you. Bing.
Cheers, buddy.
And cheers to all of you. All right. So, Dave, you and Brad go way back. How did that relationship start?
Gosh, you know, it's so interesting. I, friend of his and probably a business colleague as well. Yeah. Business partner, Peter Brosco. I had been in a different business at the time and got referred to Peter, and right away the personalities, we hit it off, and then we met, and I've just, kind of enjoyed the energy, the thought process, the excitement and everything you guys had bring to the business. And it was so easy to.
And that was back in the day when everybody was buying investment property.
Was that like 2000?
Yeah, it was probably 2000, between 2000 and 2002.
Yeah, like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I know.
And it wasn't just like 10 years ago or so.
No. It was a...
Can you believe that?
No.
There's things. I think now if you buy something from 2000, it's considered an antique.
Almost. Yeah. As we learned on another previous show, to be antique, it's 100 years. So we're not quite there.
You're right. We're not quite there yet. I just see when I see like a song that came out when I was in high school and they're like, oh, that's an oldie. It's not even a classic anymore. And I'm like, oldie.
Okay. So I've thought about that often. I remember being in the car with my parents and there would be the oldies station.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, that of course was music from what, 50s, 60s at the time. And now I think number one, we don't really have anything that I know of around here that's called an oldie station.
I call it Q95.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think about Q95 or 103 is another one that plays a lot of rock music. But now, you know, we're starting to hear more songs from the 80s and the 90s. I'm like, oh, shit. This is now exactly. The oldie station.
We're the oldie station. That's right. It's crazy.
I listen to the 70s.
Do you?
Yeah. So I don't know if that says my age or not.
No, I grew up with rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
70s and 80s rock and roll.
Yeah.
80s was my high school time frame. So yep. I really got sucked into, you know, Van Halen and
oh, yeah.
all of those kind of bands. But yeah, I could listen to some Led Zeppelin. And
yeah.
So
good.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm a country guy now, though.
Yeah, you are.
I've been a country guy for a long time now.
We do the same. My daughter got us into that, and I think it was through The Voice or some music competition, and she would come home from college and go, Dad, just listen to this my wife and I, and I'm like, all right, I'll listen to it. And then everyone was singing country songs, and pretty soon my wife and I are like, this is really good.
Yeah.
It's not the country that I was picturing in my mind. No, I thought it was going to be real twang.
Yes.
There's a tear in my beard.
And it was not, and we love it.
Yeah, I've definitely come over to the countryside because, like you, you know, I used to think of country as the twang and, you know, hillbilly songs, stuff. I'm like, nah.
I just learned something. You're coming over? You're starting to listen to country
I don't like listen to a country station, but I mean, with the stations that I listen to, there's a lot of country coming into the pop music world.
Sure.
And so it's seemingly just everywhere, and I like it. So, yeah, I'd say I'm
maybe someday you'll get to meet Riley Green.
Maybe I will. Pretty cool. You know what? I was thinking about that. So Blake Shelton just signed to build Ole Red here in Indy, and that's going to open, I think, end of next year, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think we got to get Blake on the show.
No, that'd be phenomenal.
Man, wouldn't it help?
That'd be really cool.
I think he'll do it.
I think all 10 followers would watch that
show. I think we
I think we just got to 11 or 12 with Blake's on.
I think so.
I mean, we had Clayton Anderson on, who has Clayton's Cowboy Bar downtown. That's a great, great bar.
Yeah,
it's
they're really popular.
They're killing it. So, yeah, just Blake Shelton would be a good step.
Really cool if we could maybe do an episode from Clayton's Bar, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh. It wasn't a logistical nightmare.
I keep trying.
It'll happen. All we have to do is go do it. They've invited us to do it. It's just... I think the pinnacle would be if we got to do a podcast from Pat McAfee's podcast studio.
Well, or just get Pat here.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. You know, keep dreaming, baby.
Well, let's talk about Dave.
Oh, hi. We have a guest.
I mean, I was kind of excited about what we were just talking about.
I mean, it'd be great to
see. He'll watch that.
We want to, like, lower, you know, dumb it down a little bit.
Can I come to those?
Yeah.
Live studio.
I was actually
saying, the largest studio audience that day.
Oh, heck yeah, we invite you.
Yeah.
We got a couple comfy chairs out there.
Yeah, we do.
Pat McAfee, is he the one that has, like, right over here, the office?
Yeah, his studio is not far.
His house is just right across the water from ours.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, right out.
Can you go knock on his door and say, hi, I was on this podcast?
I could take our boat right over there.
Based on his swimming ability, you know, that he did in the canal, maybe he could, like, swim over.
Perhaps. You know, I'm not sure, at least around here, I'll ever live that down.
How could you live that down?
He's trying. No, he's gone, you know, national.
So. Dave and John from Yayo, you know Dave?
Yeah.
From Luxbath and John from Yayo were in town, and we probably drank a lot after some of those events downtown. And I got pictures of them, or sending me videos of them jumping in the fountain on the circle.
Oh.
And I'm like, you guys are lucky you didn't go to jail. Homeland Security holds your head under the water. So, yeah, they almost Pat McAfee'd downtown.
All right. Well, thankfully that's in the past now, and everybody's fine.
Everybody made it.
There you go. All right. Well, Dave is your invited guest. Where you want to go with this, Brad?
Well, one of the things that I've always been impressed with Dave is his ability to be successful in business, how you've been able to build different types of businesses. And let's start with where you started. What was your first hit out of the park, and how did you make it happen?
Gosh. Or maybe even your first attempt and it sucked.
Yeah, I would start with that one. My first one worked. So yeah, that was a blessing. And but it was in real estate. And when I was in college, I always knew I was going to own a business. That's what I wanted to do. And I kind of wanted the freedom of time.
Shout out to where you went to college?
Purdue.
Okay.
And I had just moved down from Minnesota and I didn't know anything about any colleges. I just had finished up my last year of high school in Hartford City, Indiana. And I had some friends that said they were going to Purdue, that you should go. And I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then later on, I learned about the Little Five at IU. And I'm like, oh, I wish I would have gone there. I wanted to ride in it once I knew what, you know.
So much cooler.
Oh, it is cool. No, and it is pretty down there, too.
Beautiful, yeah.
So
went there for 4 years. Never attended Little Five. Not once.
You're saying I never went to IU, and I've been to the Little Five more than you have?
Very true.
And yes. I didn't go to IU, and I went twice, and I there thought it, and I'm like, oh, if I could have just ridden in it.
It's one of the greatest weekends at IU.
I think it's amazing.
I agree. I had a great time each weekend, but that did not
involve the movie.
Yeah.
Breaking Away?
Is it the Cutters or what?
Breaking Away is the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Cutters were the cycling team. And still are.
I mean, to think I carried two cases of beer across the street heading to Dunhill, mm-hmm. and I was a junior in high school. And nobody said a thing.
Different times.
Different.
Sorry, we cut you off. Continue with your Purdue journey.
Started at Purdue.
Yeah, okay. Well, yes. I always knew I was going to own a business. That was my goal. Part of it was I felt like I had to. Like there's some, you know, sometimes you're proving yourself, right?
And, mm-hmm.
But I also wanted the freedom of time. And so I got into real estate, and it was a little bit of a fluke. That was never a plan. I didn't have a plan of what I was going to do. Initially, I always thought I wanted to own a restaurant. And I thought, gosh, I could do that. But I don't love having to manage people. And I'm probably not the best person to manage operations. Because I can hold the line for a minute, which is not very long. And then after that, I'm like, all right, it's okay. we'll move the line, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not good. So ultimately, there was an infomercial for probably at that time, cassette tapes, a series on buying tax sale properties.
Okay.
And I literally thought, I don't need to buy that. I'm just going to go do it. And so I did. And I bought my first tax sale properties at the surplus sale downtown Indianapolis. Didn't know what I was doing. I bought a few more properties after that. And then pretty soon I started getting some notices from the city of Indianapolis, like, hey, you kind of need to clean your properties up. I ran out of money because I bought too many properties.
Yeah.
And, but I was thinking I'm going to do this and then I'll create some freedom. Took a equity line out of our house, used some money on a credit card, and I started buying stuff. And then ultimately, I think there was a point where I got referred down to your company. And that's how we met. Cause then I'm like, geez, how can I do this?
Now you had a good mortgage guy.
Yeah. Bigger and better.
Yeah.
Pete knew how to do it. That was my first, flight on my own, I should say. And I wasn't one to just do a little bit. And whatever people tell you at times, as far as, hey, just do this part-time, you can do really well. I have not seen anyone, and for me, it hasn't worked to just do something part-time and be really successful at it. I mean, you play guitar. Think of just playing a guitar part-time. You're only going to go so far.
Right.
And so I was just all in. I was reading books. I was going to different events. I was going to seminars when people came into town, learning. And then I just somehow started to network with people in the industry like you. And I just kept learning from that, but I was all in.
How many properties did you get up to?
At that time, I got up to 200.
Okay.
Wow.
I thought you were plus 150, but I can't remember.
It was 200.
And what would you do with that? Was it, you know, fix and flip or rentals?
Both. Mostly, I considered myself kind of a wholesaler. Like I would go get these properties and sometimes I would get them and then I would think, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. And then I would start calling people I knew and I'm like, hey, I have this property. Do you want it? Maybe we could redo it or I might rent it. And then I just started moving properties. I did rent and I didn't love that part because I was managing the rentals.
Yeah, it sucks.
And so I then eventually hired a company that managed them. And I would go down and get rent. And they wouldn't have all the money on Tuesday. And they're like, we'll come back next week and I'll give you the other, you know, $75. And then I'd go back and they weren't there. And there were times I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
Like,
I don't remember if it was you or not, but what you can say was if it was you or not. You guys had a property. It was at a certain place. It had a board up. You guys got told you had to do something to it. It took a little while to get there and you got there and it had been torn down by the city. Was that you?
No, that was someone else.
Okay.
And that's a good story, though.
No. It's a true story, and I knew that person.
Okay, yeah. That's right. I knew that there was a connection there.
I knew them, and I started getting notices like that on some of my properties, and at first I thought I'm like, you don't know me. You're not really going to do it. And then I was networking with people like you that said, no, they'll really do it.
Yeah.
And I got called down into environmental court. Health and Hospital, I think is what it was called. Yeah. And I didn't know I was called down, and I just threw, it was like a photocopy pay. I threw it away. And then someone told me, like, dude, you missed court. Like, that's not good. You need it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so I went down.
That was real?
I found out. I found out, like, they do have inspectors, and they really mean it. And they were adding, like, citations.
Oh, yeah.
To my, you know, I might have bought a property, say, for $3,000. And then I was getting fines. And then pretty soon, I'm like, geez, now I'm in the property. I haven't done a thing. And I'm in it at $10,000. And I'm like, I better do something.
I just remember Pete saying in the office, they tore it down. Like, the city tore it down.
That was someone else. And I was there, and the guy called me, and he's like, dude, guess what just happened? And I'm like, no way, they can't do that. He goes, yeah. And then guess what happens after they tear it down?
You get a demo bill.
Charge you?
You have a demo bill.
Yeah, you have like a $25,000 demo bill on a property you bought for like five grand.
Oh, my goodness.
So one of the things that happened to me through that, you know, in any business, you know, you get into it, you're learning, it's going well, and then you start to learn all the things behind the scenes. I mean, the tape series can tell you how easy it is.
Yeah.
And you might do one thing that's really easy, but the other 10?
It's hard.
Are hard.
Right.
And that's when you're working and doing everything. And so I, you know, the city of Indianapolis, whatever it was, they wanted to start forcing us landlords to start getting these properties redone quicker.
Mm.
So they published in the Indianapolis Star, which was bigger back then, right? The paper. Yeah. But they said, here are the top five, like, worst landlords.
Yeah.
And I was
made the list.
I made the list.
No, you didn't.
I was number four.
Now,
the thing is, some people would take it as you're a horrible landlord, like you're renting homes and you don't, and these people, but it's not, it didn't mean that. It just meant you own the property. You're not mowing the grass sometime. You have gutters.
It's not even in it. No one's even in it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I went and met with those. I called them up and I said, hey, I want to come down and meet with you. Like, why did you publish us in the paper? And there were three other big hitters ahead of me, and they had more properties than I did. And they're like, well, here's what we're trying to do. And I go, it's not going to work. And I go, I noticed you didn't publish any banks' names.
Right.
And they're like, well, and I go, we bought these from the banks.
Yeah.
And you never say them, but now you're gladly putting my name in the paper.
Right.
And it was for a moment, and I would get some calls from people. You know, Peter called. He's like, dude,
you're in the paper.
Yeah. He's like, way to go. And as a matter of fact, my daughter was being born at the time. We were up at community hospital, and I got a call, and I think it was Peter. He's like, man, dude, you're awesome. And I'm like, well, thank you. Or, you know, she hasn't been born yet. What's going on? He's like, dude, you're in the paper. And then I'm like,
you made the list.
What I do?
Yeah. You know, and that's when you know you have a real friend, when he's like, dude, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to.
You should put all these in a company.
Oh my gosh. And I was networking with the, you know, the top five people, and and I called them, and they're like, bro, I didn't know you had that many properties. You're just a little bit behind me. And I said, oh my gosh. And I told the people that published it, I said, you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah.
If you think you're forcing our hand,
right?
We're investors. This is what we do. It's not like you're going to just make me go fix all these properties up right away. I go, we only have so much money. We need to move properties.
Right.
Once I move some, I'll go fix up.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we were just told to do it. You know, kind of like
they got the mayor's idea.
Yeah. They got a headline.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was part of it.
So how did you transition out of real estate into your next business?
Yeah. My next business, I would say, was a business as... Now I'm going to quantify this as it was a business as people kind of think of a business, meaning, you know, we had office space, we started hiring employees, and then it just grew, and you kind of had to go into that real estate. I had the freedom of going around. I was working out of my house and I loved it. And so I had met someone, they had been in the debt collection business and kind of doing stuff with federal student loans, and they were really good at it. And I said, gosh, you should just start your own business. And about 6 months later, I got a call from that person, and they're like, look, I can't do a business. Like, I know this part, but I don't know how to set a company up. I don't know what to do. Like, would you want to do it with me? And I thought, oh my gosh, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like in a blink of an eye. I'll do it. Yeah. And I thought right away it was going to be simple to get going.
Sure.
And it wasn't. But that's how I got going. Really, it was just this phone call, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have something. And I remember I couldn't sleep that night after. I'm like, oh, we're going to set the world on fire. This is going to be amazing.
And there's an excitement that builds it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
This was a debt collection business?
Yes.
Okay.
we were working on, you know, processing student loans, collecting those, or people who aren't paying, and a lot of times they're avoiding, yeah. And then you find out they're on disability, they're a veteran, they need help, and we're like, hey, there's repayment options that you don't even know about, or we can file paperwork, and this can be forgiven. We just need to talk to you. You know, that's so, anyway, that's what the business was.
And that became a big deal, right?
It became a big deal. And it became a very big deal. I had no idea how big. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew we were going to be really good. And once I got into it, I was still doing some real estate. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I'll just help this get going. And I'll keep doing my real estate. And then pretty soon I found out I can't just help this get going. Like, it's going to need me full time. Mm-hmm. I got to be the CEO like all the time. So I stopped doing real estate.
Right.
And I started helping to build this company up. And then pretty soon, you know, we had bought a house, renovated it, turned it into a commercial property. We started, let's say, with 12 employees. I would go get contracts. We had, I mean, sophisticated computer system as far as managing financial information. We would get audits done, and then we're growing and getting more contracts. And over time, I mean, we grew to 400 and say almost close to 450 employees.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I never, you know, I don't wake up and think, oh, I want to have a lot of employees.
Sure.
I just think
nobody does.
Yes.
Nobody does.
No one does. But what we wanted was I wanted to build this successful company. And then along the way, you start realizing, oh, yeah, this is what we need now.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we need these professional IT staff. We need trainers. We need auditors in-house. And then pretty soon I'm like, I can't believe, man, we'll fix some boys.
Did you ever think I need a fish tank that has sharks in it in my office? Did you ever think that?
No.
Did that ever happen?
Yeah.
Because why not?
I'm looking at the screen. I didn't think that. And my my business partner thought this will be great. And I thought, I don't think we should have sharks in there. He's like, no, that'd be great. And I'm like, I don't think so.
And, but you did have.
We did.
Yeah. And it was big sharks, right?
Yeah. And I mean, we'd have someone that would come in and take care of the tank, and they'd get in and swim around in it and clean it and stuff. And I know.
What the hell?
Yeah.
How big were the sharks? What kind of sharks?
Well, yeah, I know. I don't remember that.
Okay.
Maybe black tip.
They were whites. They just weren't great.
Yeah.
Mediocre whites.
I would say they were like at this point. And then There was a point as they started to get bigger than the tank, we would have a way to move them. There were different zoos or someone that would want them. And then we would donate those to them.
Huh.
I know.
I mean, if you're going to be in the collection business, what better symbol to have in your office than sharks?
That's a really good point.
Which wasn't good.
Yeah.
And ultimately.
It wasn't, and it is. Like,
it is, and it's.
Yeah, it's like. The Wolf of Wall Street type cool.
Yes.
Maybe not really that cool.
No, it's cool. Thank you. And that's what I was saying. Yeah. And then we got written up in a newspaper out in Seattle, and they're like, hey, these guys even use sharks as their inspiration. And I remember my business partner calling me going, dude, can you believe this? And I go, yeah,
yes.
I can believe it. And he's like, whatever. And I go, no, it's not whatever. It's not good.
Right.
We need to have Finding Nemo fish in there. And I'm serious. Wow. You know, and then some of our clients were kind of like, hey, now that I'm reading that, I don't know if sharks are the best thing. And I'm like, thank you.
But we did get 90% of your debts collected.
Yeah. And they're like, but you guys are really good.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we didn't use them for that.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, you know, like, hey, this is who we are and everything. It was just more
switch it out to tarantulas.
Yeah.
So much better.
So much better.
Believe me, I said, if this doesn't work, like, can we turn it into is it a terrarium?
Yep.
And ultimately, it was neat to have, but the sharks eventually was like, probably we need to take them out and just have
this normal fish.
Just pretty fish.
Pretty fish.
Yeah. The saltwater fish are pretty.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. The colors. The shark is neat for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened to that business?
Yeah, here was the interesting part. When we started it.
It's not more interesting than the sharks.
Okay.
Continue.
I know. It's actually not. But I'm going to tell you one other thing about that tank.
Oh, okay.
You'll like this. So we had a contractor in, and we had bought a building, 40,000 square foot building after our small house, and we're growing. We're like, geez, what are we going to do? So we get this 40,000 square foot building. Anthem used to own it. And we're building the tank. And I said to our contractor's good friend, and I said, man, you know, he's put in the tank. And I said, wouldn't that be funny if when you fill it up, you know, it leaked? And he's
what's funny about
the humor, you know, we'd hired a company out of state that built these. And so at the time, my partner's like, you know, I'm going to give them bonus money if they get it done quicker. And I'm like, I'm not always sure it's better to get something done like that quicker.
We don't want a shark jumping out of the deck.
Yeah. And so the tank gets shipped. They're filling it. And I come in and I see my contractor standing in the tank and he has this look. He actually looks pale.
Oh, no.
And I said, hey, you doing okay? What's going on? He's like, no, I'm not. And he goes, remember that thing you said? And I go, I don't know. I say a lot of things. What I say? And he goes, well, it's leaking. And I'm like, you're kidding.
And he goes, hilarious.
No, yeah, I'm not kidding. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And he's like, is that awesome?
Before the days of Flex Seal, when you could just throw a piece of tape on there and fix it.
Thank you. And then we found out that the company had, they kind of really kind of put it to us a little bit. Because they start, if you know, the bigger the tank, the thicker the acrylic, the things you're supposed to do. So they started, let's say, with 4 inches thick. And as it went around, they scaled it down. And pretty soon they get to 2.5 inches.
Oh, well, am I right?
Thank you. So the strength of it wasn't going to hold.
Wow.
The amount of water that was in there. And so we find this out. And then eventually we're like, oh, I can't believe this. So now we're talking with the company. And pretty soon they just closed up. There was no money, there was no fixing it, and we had to get rid of that whole tank and get a new company
and do it correct.
We paid double.
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show. Double.
Yeah, for one tank.
How many gallons was it?
I don't even know if it was, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking 40,000 or I don't know. It was substantial.
That's a big tank.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we had like a platform above it where you could walk above it. If, you know, if I wanted to take you up and go, hey, would you like to go feed the fish? Like,
yes, I would.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's awesome.
So it leaked. That's kind of a cool story, right?
Nothing else you're going to say is more interesting than the shark story.
Thank you.
Try it out, Dave.
You asked me a question and then.
Yes, whatever happened in that business?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened? Where'd that go?
Here's where it went. From the beginning, anytime I start a business, anytime, I just immediately, it's like I see the exit and I just kind of know where we're going. And it's like a football player, right? You give me the ball, I know where the end zone is and my goal is to get it there. That's where we're going. Some people.
That's a football analogy for you sports people.
I'm a good football guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
He always makes fun of me like I don't know shit about
sports. Like they sit here and dig into sports, you know, and I'm like.
People get it.
Most people do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there.
Sorry.
Well, I can't name off 200 different Major League Baseball players.
Nor can I.
Not today.
However, I get the concept of what
historically I could.
How about the Indy 500? What do you think of the car racing?
It's great. Yeah, we've had Connor Daly on
that's
the show.
That's where I'm not in. So if somebody brings up racing, then he'll throw it at me like that's a car racing.
Hey,
I'm like, I know that.
The Indy 500, when they start the race, tell me what they're doing. They're racing.
Finish line.
500 miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they know.
They know where they're going to go.
Yeah, so when I started the business, I knew where we were going to go. And I'm like, we're going to build this thing and I'm going to sell it. And I didn't know how. I didn't know anything. 3 months in, I am, you know, and I started reading publications and I just happened to call this merger and acquisition company. And I thought, oh, I think these are the guys to call. I didn't know anything. So I call them up and I said, I want you to write down my name and phone number and my email. I'm nothing today, but I'm going to be something in the future. And you're going to want to talk to me and you're going to rep my company.
You did it. That's freaking awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And the guy said, I don't get calls like this. Like, who are you? How big are you? And I said, well, here's the deal. I said, I have maybe 12 employees. He goes, yeah, you guys aren't anything. And I go, no, I already said that. He goes, I know. He goes, but keep talking. I love this. And I said, well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to turn this industry. You guys are going to start watching what we're doing and you're going to hear my name and then you're going to want to talk to me and people are going to want to buy me and you're going to call me and go, I can't believe you and I spoke a year and a half ago.
And at that point, he didn't even know there was going to be a Shark Tank involved.
No. We were just in a house.
Great. Yeah, it's great.
So he took all my information, wrote it down, and I just felt this, like as I was speaking, what we were going to do. I just felt this belief of we are going to do this. And I knew nothing other than we're going to do this. We are going to go do it. I'm going to do this. And so as we started growing and we got different contracts and we started to get noticed and we were performing exceptionally well, and I started getting calls and they're like, hey, are you guys interested in selling? And they're thinking, we're going to get you, you're halfway through the build, like building right. a condo. How about we take it over and we'll give you some money? And I go, I don't want some money. And we're not there yet. And if you want to buy me today, that's fine, except you can give me the pot of gold at the end because this is where we're going, but you don't know it. And I do. Hmm. And they're like, well, maybe not right now. And I go, okay, that's fine. So ultimately I get a call from a large company and the guy said, hey, I just want to talk and see what you guys want to do. And I said, well, I know your name. And they did student loan lending and they did a lot in the universities and they were very big. And I said, I would be a fool to not come and talk to you. And he goes, well, I'll come to you. And I go, no.
Yeah, I don't want you to see the Shark Tank. I'll come to you.
Yeah. I forgot that part.
Meet you down at the minnow bar.
But what I was really saying is like, I think I'm really good, but you guys are pretty awesome. I'm going to come to you and we'll just talk. And then he said, hey, look, you know we could give you a contract and everything. He goes, but we're kind of looking to maybe acquire. And he goes, but we don't have to acquire all of you. And he goes, we could just do a partial sale, like at least 50%. And I go, okay, let's talk. So through that, they started doing due diligence. We're giving them all this information. And then there's a point where I start thinking, oh my gosh, these guys have a ton of cash. They are huge. They're going to get my information. They're going to try to start their own company and compete against me. Right. So I called the guy and I said, I'm out. I don't want to do it. And he goes, what's going on? What's going on? I go, no. I said, you guys are taking my info. You're stealing it. Even though we signed all these documents, I'm afraid you're stealing my info and you have big pockets. So 3 weeks go by. We, you know, talk again. He goes to the board. He goes to the CEO and he's like, hey, look, I know you love this guy. He said he's backing out. And the guy's like, I can't believe it. He goes, just give me some time. So we end up talking one evening on the phone for 3 hours, just like we're talking here, to where you just realize the values they had. They were above board, the integrity, their faith, and they weren't trying to steal our information. They're like, look, we can't do what you do. That's why we want you along with us. And we just want to help you become whatever you want to be. And so I said, okay, sales back on.
Back in.
And I'm like, this is exciting. So I went to my partner and I said, guess what? We're going to do it. And he's like, I thought you said we weren't. I go, I did, but no, I changed my mind. And trust me, I know what I'm doing. He's like, you do? And I go, No, not really.
But they had a bigger building in Fisher's than what you had, I think.
A lot bigger.
I think the company.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was one of those where one of the founders of it, he was worth $600
million. Whoa. Yeah.
He had his own jet. And then I'm like, can I just fly on your jet? He's like, I'll take you for a ride on the jet. I go, okay, that'd be great.
I'll send it to pick you up tomorrow.
So we did a sale. We sold 50% and we had a 5-year agreement and then we were going to be out in 5 years, unless it was 4, I don't remember. But the whole thing was, and I know this emphatically, I knew it when we did it. It's kind of like kicking the can down the road. And I'm like, look, we're doing a great thing here. You're going to give me cash now. It's awesome. You're going to give me cash later. You're saying it's in 4 years. You're not going to want to wait 4 years. I'm not going to want to only own half my company for 4 years. And I know this. And you're eventually going to want to start doing your own thing. And I might be in the way. And I don't want to do what you want to do. You know, so eventually, like we were 2 years in and they're like, hey, Dave, you ever thought about selling all of it sooner than later? And I said, yes, I have. So we came to an agreement and I sold the rest of it.
To back up a little, when you first started, you called that mergers and acquisitions company. Is there any foreshadowing to that? Did they somehow get into this at all?
No.
Okay.
And I know there's a little bit of me that I kind of wish they had. They had called me with 2 other clients, a potential purchases a year before, but we weren't at that point. Mm-hmm. And there was a pinnacle contract I was working to get with the federal government. And you had to have a lot of stuff in place. We had to put a lot of cash out, safeguards in our computer system and just people breaking into the building or hacking into the system. We had to actually hire hackers to try and get into our system. And so it just wasn't the time. But they did call me and congratulate me.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
No, it was
so good. They knew.
Oh no, they knew. And when, you know, no matter how big an industry is, it's big until you're in it. Small. And then you start to know all the players.
Yeah.
And they knew us and he was really happy. And he goes, I can see how they called you. We never had a broker. It was just owner to owner.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
So then from there, now you're out.
Now I'm out.
Now you just sent your baby off into the world all by itself.
Yeah.
What did you do next?
I know. And what I did next, now you use the word baby, and I want to say something. When I started my businesses, it was all to create freedom of time for my family. We have four children. Well, at the time, maybe we didn't have all four when I started, but I just knew, like, I just...
We know how they come.
Yeah. I didn't know if we were going to talk
about
that.
For most, not all.
Are we talking about that or not?
We didn't plan any of ours, so they just came along.
And so so selling it was just always a vision. It happened. It's how I saw it. I didn't know who it was going to or when. But I can't believe we did that.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. I can't believe it. And so what did I do next? We moved to Spain for a year.
As one does.
Yeah. I mean, why normal not? Thing to do.
Yeah, of course.
And I had met a pastor from a church over there and we were like basically missionaries. They invited us over. We got a visa for a year. I was to help out at the church just volunteering, but they had been praying for a business guy because they had a coffee shop. They had a workout facility and a big church out of Chicago built a building for them.
Huh.
The building became kind of a burden to them, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. where they were kind of like, geez, how we keep maintaining
take care of this. Yeah.
Yes. So they had started a fitness center and they were, you know, they had members, they had a coffee shop and they had a gymnasium at times they'd rent out. And the pastor's like, I don't know how many members we have. I don't know who's paying. I don't know what to do. And I
what
said,
and city in Spain are you in?
We were in right outside of Malaga, Spain, on the Mediterranean.
Okay.
Was Jared and Laura Staten with you guys as well?
Well, they went there when we, after our year, then they went.
Then they went. Okay.
We were at Horizon Christian at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Ding, yeah, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, yep, yeah.
I forgot they had felt the calling to go there.
Yeah. When you said coffee shop.
Yeah.
Jared Stata's coffee shop.
Sure.
Yeah. And so it was tough being over there. It was tough. And then it became a huge blessing. And what I mean by tough is this. We do, our culture here is a certain way. Like we say we're going to do something, we go after, we have a meeting, and then we go do it.
Yeah, it's not like that.
It's not like that.
Okay, I found that, huh?
Yeah.
And let's say we view time as linear, meaning, hey, meeting started at 9.
No.
You missed out. I'm not going back. Over there, it's circular. And they're like, well, you missed out, but it's not a problem. It'll come back in a week or two. And I'm like, what? It can't come back.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So
Mexico,
there are
just so you know,
parts of the world, like
Mexico's
that.
The same way.
No, I didn't know that.
And I had a very strict schedule to get an interview in, and I knew I had to be back at the hotel by 4:30 to do an interview with the brand owner. And I called him at 2 and I'm like, hey, Pete, I'm sorry, but Mexico's Mexico and on us. And he's like, nah, I knew you weren't going to make it. He's like, when you told me what you were doing and what time we were meeting, I already took you off my calendar.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's how Mexico's the same way. It's okay. Like
when
things go when they go.
I'll throw Italy in. We were stranded in Italy for a few days between cruises. And my wife decides we're going to take the bus and do some things in this town. Well, she was able to Google Translate the bus schedule. Oh. Well, screw the bus schedule. If this bus is supposed to be here at, you know, 8:42 and there's another one scheduled at like 8:55. Well, the 8:42 may show up at, I don't know, 8:51. Then the 8:55 is actually on time, so they're really close, but then the next one's not coming for another half hour. We literally sat at the bus station for a while waiting for the damn bus to show up because we were on time. They're like, it'll come.
It's all, man, don't worry about it. It's just time.
Just no, other parts of the world.
There's something about that that's amazing, though. Like, I feel like when we go to Mexico, the rush of everything, like the have to get it done and have to be on time and all of the pressure that we have here in our workday world goes, oof.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah.
45 days in after living there, we'd have a meeting and they're like, Dave, and they would tell me, you're so smart. This is so good. I'm like, so we're going to do a budget. And I'm like, yes, it's so great.
Eventually.
And then, well, I didn't know that. We get together the next month, we're having coffee and they're like, Dave, my friend. You know, I go, hey, so the budget? I'm like, no, we didn't do it yet. And I go,
okay. We love the idea.
And they're like,
though.
But you are so smart. I'm going, I don't think I'm that smart now.
Because I can't talk you into doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought we were going to do it. And they're like, well, we don't do what we say, you know. No. And but so 45 days in, at first I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I just want to fix you guys in a loving way. But I'm like, guys, if we just did this, don't you realize what would happen? 45 days later, I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this.
They fixed you.
I was fixed. I loved it. And I remember talking to my wife going, honey, this is great. We go to a restaurant. They don't keep asking us, how's your food? The manager doesn't come out and say, I'm the manager. And I'm like, that's great.
I love that
in
Europe.
They never bothered me.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And then if I went and got them and said, hey, can they're like, they were so happy to help.
Yeah.
And they were so happy for you to have a little drink, a little coffee, a little thing of tequila. And if you stayed for 4 or 5 hours,
they didn't care.
They didn't care. Yeah. And they were happy you were there.
Yep.
And I thought, I love these people.
Yep.
And I started to think, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm fixed.
I have to say that that's one of the reasons why I love going to Mexico is the way. I mean, I come into a restaurant, I just entered somebody's house. That's the way you're treated. You're not treated as a customer. You're treated as a friend or family even. And they're so there to serve and so happy you were there. I don't know how many restaurants I've been to in these small towns where I've left and got a hug from like five people that worked there when we left.
Isn't it
like,
great?
Yeah.
Don't you love it?
It's
why he keeps going back.
Yeah, I've already been three times this year, and I head back down in a couple of weeks.
Now we loved it. It was just so endearing to us.
So you said you're only there a year, though.
We could only stay a year.
Okay. Oh, visa-wise. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you should have got a MasterCard.
I probably should have. And at that time, you know, that's just how. And even if you went in on your passport, you could go for 90 days.
Yeah.
You couldn't just leave and then come back. Mm-hmm. You had to leave for 90.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't know how it is today, but at that time, I mean, we had to be there for a reason. And and so we only had the 12 months.
So each country must be different in the way that Mexico, you can stay 180. You come home for a day and then you go back to
work. I know. And I wish it had been like that because at first I had a plan. I go, what's the big deal? We'll just do this. We'll just go over to Switzerland to someplace and we'll come back.
Yeah.
You can.
Wow.
So for the year that you were there, did you get things accomplished that was the plan?
No.
Okay. They're actually still working on it.
Yeah. We did for our family. Yes. For how I really thought I was going to provide this, whatever they thought, this wisdom and this business knowledge. And I thought I was just going to do more. And there was a point where I thought I'm dying on the vine here. Like, and then there was a point where I'm like, okay, I backed off. I just backed off of what I thought I was going to help them with. And I'm like, it's okay. Because we did what we needed for our family. My wife and I, our four kids, we had put them in a private school, all Spanish.
Oh yeah.
And
how old were your kids?
Gosh, our oldest was probably going into eighth grade and okay. It was a perfect time.
Wow. 14.
Yeah. And he was an exceptional athlete, exceptional runner, distance runner. And so he got on a Spanish team and went to nationals. We traveled all over the country doing that. But our kids, you know, two of them are fluent in Spanish. Nice. One is working in the real estate industry now, bilingual. And nice. So for them,
awesome.
It just opened up so much and it was way more impactful than we thought. We wanted to give this to them, but we just didn't know what it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our daughter then ended up going to Purdue. She studied abroad, would go on her own just because of what we did. Our oldest son, they're all married now, but he married a gal he met at, YWAM base in Costa Rica. She's from Peru.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm like, everything
that's awesome.
That way more came out of it. And then we have some really close friends from over in Spain.
That's fantastic.
That's super awesome.
Yeah. It's really neat.
All right. So do you consider yourself retired now and you're just chilling out?
I
hanging
do.
Out?
Yeah, you know, I like to say redirected, and if that...
Totally get it.
Thank you. But it is, like, you just don't, you know, I know, the American way in the commercials, you're on a beach. And
fishing and golfing.
Fishing and drinking a Corona, right? With the lime.
I golf a lot.
Or golf.
Or in that particular...
And so fishing. You just, you know, we have five grandkids now. We're, you know, I'm doing some real estate, and we've just
What's the real estate look like for you now?
Yeah, it's different. We we've built our own properties, and we build like 10 bedroom, 10 bathroom homes, and we rent out the rooms. Uh-oh. Communal living.
Very nice.
So we have maybe 140 rooms rent out, and it's kind of grown pretty big.
I remember when you were starting that.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And when I learned about it, I'm like, what is this? I would never want to do it.
Yeah.
And
where do you build them?
We're on the inner city in Indianapolis, around bus areas, Crown Cemetery, and just different places. We strategically, you know, kind of blanketed some areas, and we have some, which is really wonderful. Some, I would say, I don't know what you want to call it. Not group homes, but people have come out of rehab. And then we have some companies that have just taken over our full, some of our properties, the whole thing. And then they're, it's a transition.
Halfway house.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they're renting the whole thing, and it's just been a blessing to those people.
That's great.
Which we had thought about this, doing it ourselves, but you know, in any business, there's a point where it's like, stay in your lane. Hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to do that part because there's just way more to it than we know. And it's not my area of expertise. They know the counseling. They know how to work with these people, but we provide really nice facilities
for you.
Yeah. To go from starting some real estate, being the fourth worst landlord in the city of Indianapolis.
Thank you.
To creating a big collection agency and doing what you did for companies there. And then to turn around and make that a blessing to people.
Yeah.
Says a lot. And
well, I, in between there, coming back after Spain, I don't know how many years it was, but then I started up another collection agency with some people and built that up and sold it. I think that was like a 4 year, 5 years at the most. I had 250
okay.
at the time. And it was really based on the contracts we had and what was needed. But man, that one, I got to say, over the first one, that one was such... That was so enjoyable. I mean, the team I had, owners that were involved with me. I mean, we just worked so well together. And it, you know, you love when you're doing something and it's kind of like you're on basketball analogy, but when you're on the court and everyone's just like
in sync
and we're here to win and this is what we're going to do. And they're like, hey, you might be in pain. And they're like, doesn't matter. Right. I'm not whining. I'm not doing anything. I'll do whatever it takes. The team that we just would have our, you know, management meeting and we're like, hey, we need to do this. And everyone just go do it.
Okay.
Like you're not leaving until midnight tonight, but you'd never say it.
Yeah.
You would never
and
say
it. And that would never happen in Spain.
Yeah.
No. It would not happen in Spain.
But right. We would stay and do it.
Right.
And it was amazing. So built that up and sold it. Same thing. And when I got my first contract on that one, I just got to tell you this. I went to this company and they were a big debt buyer in the medical industry, and they'd buy debt, and then they needed to work with companies that were really good because they're like, guys, we have millions of dollars out. We need to get our investment back and make some profit off of it.
Right.
So I went and I met with this guy out in Pennsylvania, and I said, here's what's going to happen. And I said this in a way, you know, we're just having a glass of wine, and I said, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to say yes. And when you say yes, I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to be the best company you've ever worked with, and you're going to want to buy me. But you're not going to buy me. We're going to take your company and mine, and we're going to sell them together. But that's later on. He goes, well, what do you have right now? I don't really have anything. Just this idea. And he's like, well, and I go, look, I've done this before. I will be your best. And he's like, well, I can't start you really big. I go, I don't care if I only need one employee. I just want you to say yes and shake my hand right now. And so he said, okay, I'll do it. But you're going to be small. And I go, fine. So he's like, okay. Well, he calls me the next day. He goes, did you mean it? And I go, yeah. He goes, well, you're going to need more than one employee because I'm going to give you more business. And I go, I haven't even called the company to program our software. It's going to take me 3 months.
Yeah.
I got to get an office space. And then I, you know, met with some other people. I'm like, guys, you need to come in this with me. You know, you'll get ownership and I can't do it without you. Like I could look really good as a CEO only because of them.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they're like, Dave, I believe in what you're doing. Let's do it. And I go, oh my gosh. So I call him back and I go, I got more today than I did yesterday. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to give you more business. And so pretty soon he's like, we started, I think, with 25 people out of the gate.
Wow.
Yeah. So it grew and grew and grew. And then it happened that their company and mine sold
at the same
to time. The same, but not, yes, I wanted it to be at the exact same time. And here's why, because I thought I could get a higher valuation for my company. That was kind of my plan. I was excited about it. their CEO, he's a sharp guy too. He's sharp. And he called me and goes, Dave, here's what we're going to do. He goes, look, I'm going to negotiate my deal first. Then we're going to come and we're going to work out the sale of your business and your purchase. But I want to get mine done and then we'll do yours. And I'm like, oh, that's not exactly how I planned it. But what could I say except they're bigger.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So I said, yeah, sounds good. And then I would tell everyone, I go, man, I negotiated really good here. Here's what we're going to do.
Okay. So let's bring this to.
So that was 6 years ago that I sold.
That was
that
6 years
one.
Ago. Okay. So let's bring this to someplace that can be really helpful to other people.
Oh, there's a lot.
So if you, well, I mean, there's a lot that we've talked about that.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
But there's a lot of things that go behind this. And I think there, if we could ring a bell every time he's dropped a nugget, because there's been some great nuggets. But if you were, talking to 20-year-old you,
yeah,
and you could say five things,
oh wow,
to do or not to do, what are five things you would give 20-year-old you?
Wow. You know, I've heard that question in different ways. A lot of times in distance running when I was coaching that, and when people are older in college and like, what would you tell your high school self? And I'm like, geez, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, hey, don't like overthink this, you know, just, but so what would
Ding.
I, yeah, you know, like enjoy the journey, which I really did. And then, yeah,
I don't need to put a bell. I got Brad.
Yeah. Isn't he the best?
Saving me some editing.
You know, one of the things I always believe in is start with the end in mind.
Mm.
Believe in that.
Ding.
You're going to need more money.
Always.
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, you're always going to need more money than you thought. And so just know that. You're going to also need sometimes more talent. Either, you know, we're always short on the knowledge, right? Or money, or sometimes the time to market. And you're going to need all of those. So what did I do? I started with the end in mind. I specifically would tell my younger self, which I didn't initially do until I was a little older. And I'm like, hey, I need to take some time here and I need to think about the business, right? We're so busy just doing it. But are we going in the direction that I believe we were going in? And are we doing what I said we would do? So I would take time away from the business and go, are we moving towards my goal?
Hmm.
And I would always forecast out, I would say, just forecast out what you think you're going to need in the future, meaning money, but also talent. And I would plan for that. And then I would, gosh,
you're beyond five at this point.
Yeah, well, no, the other thing, and I want, and just so everyone hears this too, is that a lot of times, and by the way, through these companies, there was, I think, three times I was nominated for Entrepreneur of the Year Award, Ernst & Young, the big award. And I, at first, we'd go down and make the finalists. I made the finalists, right? Go down to the event, black tie event at the Marat, at what it mm-hmm. was called at the time. I don't know if that name has changed and
Old National Center.
Old National Center. Okay.
They sold out.
Yeah. Hey, smart. I would have sold them.
You would have sold it 2 years before.
Apparently everyone knows that now. And so I told my wife and, you know, the other people, we had some friends come down, but I had family with me and I go, guys, you know, like I'm just happy we could come to this event and I'm thankful for that. And so we walk in. And I mean, it looked like the Academy Awards. And I looked over at my wife and I'm like, oh, I want to win this.
I want to win so bad.
I wish I had written a speech.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And one of the competitors in our field was Gary Dick, who had branched off. And yeah. I'm like, we're so dead. I can't win against him. He already has his notoriety.
Right.
And so we three times was named as a finalist. And, you know, and then they would call out the winner. I'm like, oh. We didn't get it, but I would say we were the Susan Lucci of the.
Yeah, there you go. That's
yeah.
awesome.
And, but it was awesome. I'm not sure why I told you that, but it was a lot of fun. So it was something in there.
You know, you've always been a very humble person, very nice person, very
Thank
approachable.
You.
All of the things.
Things
that,
have changed, but you've always been.
Yeah.
No, he still
until
is.
Today.
He still is. But that's one thing that, you know, I've met a lot of successful people and know a lot of people that have, you know, built businesses and sold them. And some of them, it really went to their head, and you've always kept your faith in,
yes,
in the
faith
in the forefront, and you've always been very humble and very approachable.
Well, thank you. That's exactly where I was going with the award. And here's what I was going to close with.
I knew that. I was.
Yeah, I know. You're so good at this. Shut up. It's almost like you have your own podcast.
No.
And what I was going to say is this. Some of the people got up and they had really amazing companies, you know, and I'm like, geez, yeah, makes sense. They won. They were really good. But it's almost like here in America, they were proud to say they did it at the expense of, right? At the expense of their family. And I remember looking over at my wife and I'm like, what are they doing? And they're like, hey, I missed a lot of my daughter's birthdays. I couldn't go to her graduation because we were doing this big thing. Now, there are some of the people in the room, they're like, oh, yes, that's what it takes. And I'm like, no, it doesn't take that. And that's what I wanted to tell people, you know, like, it does not take that. You can grow a business and have success, not at the expense of your family. So there were some in their acceptance speeches, they were just like,
proud of it.
Yeah. Mm. And they were caught up in that lie.
I'm disappointed in that part of what I did because I did fall into that. I did.
And I work, get it.
I worked till 9:30 at night.
It's easy to do.
Left at 6 in the morning. But we did, you know, my son raced. We traveled. My daughter's a cheerleader. We travel. I tried to be in there all the time.
Yeah.
I can see where you go to that next step and it does appear that you have to leave and just make it happen. So I appreciate that you did
that. Well, thank you. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I always wonder this because there's other people that built, say, within the industry I was in, they built a company like mine and they had 1,000 employees. Oh, geez, I only have 450, but they had different contracts and they sold it and they were like, oh, you know, they have their own jet. Well, I have my own jet, but I was set up very nicely, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if I had, you know, at the expense of my family, would I have had 1,000 employees? I can't honestly say I would have.
Sure.
And I don't know if I would have been any better. It just would have been different. And I could have worked easily more.
Yeah.
But nothing was going to change.
Right.
Yeah. I had to travel for those. But I guess over all the years, maybe I missed two events that our kids had. And they weren't big ones. It didn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was really only two.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I wanted to be there for the play that all they want to know is Danny out there listening to me right. sing? And, you know, and I might, and I'm there and I'm listening and sometimes I'm like, oh man, I'm dealing with this thing at work right now.
I've been at a band performance that I really wish I wouldn't have been at.
Okay.
Can I plug my ears?
Well, they were good. And sometimes you're dealing with something, you know, you might have a customer that's like, why aren't you doing this?
It's a kids thing, right?
Yeah.
And
what do they know? Well, what I need is for you to do your job.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad you're at your kids thing. How does that help me?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I missed my kids thing because this wasn't done. Right?
Yeah. So.
Well, Dave, I want to say thanks. Brian, what do you think? This is a good one?
This is great.
I mean, we were so deep, we didn't even stop to get a drink.
No. I
finished mine.
Gosh, well, you guys, I mean, thank you.
Thank you,
I wasn't
man.
Sure what I was going to talk about. And
I knew.
Oh.
So you know how you called that guy and you said, you're going to buy my business because we're going to do this?
Yes.
It's going to be big?
Yes.
I knew that when I called you about doing the podcast, exactly how good this was going to be.
Well, thank you.
This is a great episode. So thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate
it. To all of you out there watching, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Indiana Success Happy Hour. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's Brian and Brad. Grab your seat. Real talk served with a boozy beat. Tune in, don't even blink. 'Cause real estate makes us drink.